So on the first Sunday of every month, we look forward to celebrating communion together. And as a church, one of the things we do is we call it our Stories of God at Work Sunday. We want to talk about what God's doing and the fact that we serve a living God. This is who we're celebrating. And in our Stories of God at Work, some of them are just within our congregation locally where there's been miracles and God's healed somebody and God's answered prayer. And some of them are stories about what's going on around our world. Today, I am privileged to introduce to you Darren and Monaco Polischuk. I first met Darren and Monaco when a group of us from here went to do an English camp in Cambodia in response to a request that Bill Labazu had. You remember back a couple of years ago, he contacted us, and we as a church said, well, God, if this is a window, let's see if people are interested. And 15 people stepped forward and said, we want to go and serve. And Darren and Monaco were on the team from Foothills with us at that camp. And so some of you that are here got to know them a little bit. I heard the story while I was there that they were coming back to that area and how they were involved, and they're going to tell their story this morning. And so Karina and I were privileged when we were gifted with the sabbatical from the church to spend a week in Siem Reap, Cambodia with Darren and Monaco. I saw them pretty much daily, I think. Got to hang out with them, pray for them, love on them. They got to care for us. And I want to commend to you the hearts of two people who just want to do what Jesus is asking them to do. And who practically love the lost and the disenfranchised and the hurting. They work in an area of the world that is challenging in many ways and so exciting in other ways. It's just got a special place in my heart. So I bragged on you in front of them. They're here today. They brought some stuff to tell you about. But we're going to turn the next 25, 30 minutes over to them. And they're going to come and talk to you about what God's done in their heart, what he's doing in Cambodia, and all about what's going on. Would you welcome them to our stage and offer them your love? Welcome.
Thanks so much.
It is 10. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, we were so privileged to be able to be a part of the team with Grand Central. And with Bob and Grand Center, sorry, and Bob and Corrine, it was just wonderful. So we want to thank you for inviting us to be here today. First of all, we want to tell you who we are, how our story began, how that led into all the products that you see outside, Work of Your Hand, a Justice and Compassion Initiative, how that led into us working for the Alliance and the partnership that we have between Work of Your Hand and the Alliance, and then what we were doing in the last year. So I want to start with a question. What touches you? What angers you when it comes to the injustices of this world? In fact, it bothers you so much that sometimes you cry about it or go off in a rage. A holy indignation, as Bill Hybo likes to call it. What we're going to talk to you today is about our passion, what angers us and makes us say, not on our watch. So we're Darren and Monaco. We grew up in Calgary. We're married, as you could probably tell. We have two grown sons, and in 2000, we went on our first mission trip, and we felt God calling us overseas. So we quit our jobs, went to Ambrose Seminary, and then in 2004, we went abroad to Japan as CNMA missionaries, and we collected shoe boxes, much like Samaritan's Purse does in Canada, and took them to places like Cambodia, Philippines, and Thailand. And it was in those travels that we saw rickety houses, underdressed children, smelled the rotting garbage in the smothering heat, and heard horrific stories. The poor were so hungry and put down that they would do any work, even undignified work. These are our pictures, by the way, that we went on one of our trips. This is a garbage dump in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And we wondered, how many people suffer or live like this? They say that in 2008, there were 2.47 billion people who live on $2 a day or less. And there are 865 million people who live on less than $1 a day. Now, we know that there's a lot of poor people, but what we don't realize is they're not just poor, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to forced labor, to people just throwing them in jail, to land theft, people just steal their land, to police abuse, oppression, and also vulnerable to sexual violence. And we wonder how many have fallen victims. It's an estimated 21 million slaves in our world today, and that's a recent stat. A few years ago, they thought it was up to 30 million. And they're thought to be, because there's so many people, they think, they're disposable. One dies, get another poor person. This is downtown Phnom Penh during the day, and you can imagine what it's like at night. Teenage boys and those of you who've been in Cambodia know that everyone asks you, want a tuk-tuk ride? Want a tuk-tuk ride? Sometimes if you're just a guy by yourself, it gets worse. They'll say, do you want alcohol? Do you want drugs? And once when we were walking, and this is Darren and I together, they asked my husband if he wants a girlfriend. And I was like, hello, I'm right here. But it made us sick to our stomachs. Children, selling children for sex. So you might recognize this photo or video taken by Dateline at Sway Pak, 11 kilometers outside of Phnom Penh in Cambodia. It was a rescue sting put on by International Justice Mission. How many of you have heard of IJM? Probably some of you. So IJM was rescuing children caught in sex trafficking. So they basically, they try to help provide justice for the poor. I heard a speaker, Gary Hogan, and he's a criminal lawyer from the States, and he founded IJM. And he asked the question, are Jesus and I interested in the same thing? What is God interested in? What is his passion for the world? We believe that God loves the world and that he is good. But how do the poor know that? How are they to know that God is good? What's God's plan for that? Do you know we are the plan? Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. Now, you might be like me and go, 2.47 billion people, 21 million people. If you're counting on me, God, that's a really bad plan. That's a bad plan. But you know, that's how the disciples must have felt with the feeding of the 5,000. They said, they asked Jesus to send those people away to their own village so that they could get food. And what did Jesus say? He said, you feed them. And the disciples asked, how? How are we supposed to feed them? And all Jesus asked is, what do you have? What do you have? What gifts and talents do you have? What abilities do you have? You see, Jesus doesn't ask us for the miracle. All he asks is, what do you have? And then he provides the miracle. People want to earn a dignified living. The picture is of products being purchased for fair wages in Laos. And in fact, work is biblical. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for work, for good works that God prepared beforehand. So that's why we started Work of Your Hand. The purpose of Work of Your Hand is to help the underprivileged and marginalized people in developing nations find hope through Jesus, gain dignity through meaningful work that pays a fair wage, and enables them to provide for their own families. Work of Your Hand believes that trade, more than aid, will help alleviate poverty. So the vision is to purchase crafts and products for fair wages, bring them over here, sell them, and with the money, purchase more from those in the third world, and in that way, try to create employment from them. So began Work of Your Hand. And this is a picture of a tote bag that we received last year, and we have some in the back, actually. From all the products in the Philippines, we actually have the name of the person who made the product. Because for us, it's not really about selling. It's not really about the product. It's about people. They're people who made these products. And so that's what we really care about. So this is the Philippines. It's on the outskirts of the garbage dump area of Manila called Payatas. And that's where all the juice pack products and the coffee bags and all those kinds of things and the tarp bags are all made from. And all the sowers that sow for us live there. So we work with a pastor and his wife, and they found seamstresses who want to work. They said that 80 to 90% of the people who live in that area don't have employment. So the juice packs are collected from a local high school. We don't want the people, just because they live in a garbage dump area, to be scavenging in the garbage. So the high school has about 16,000 students. There's about 80 kids per class. And it's a really hot country. They drink a lot of juice. And so when they're done, they're told to put them in a special bottle like depot. And then the caretaker there at the school then takes the juice packs and sells them to the pastor. Then Evelyn then purchases all the products, gets all the bindings and threads and hands them out to the people there. Yeah. Oh, the high school students before, they actually made some money to cleaning the packs and stuff. So then the bags are checked for quality, You know, so many times when we think that a product is made in the third world, we think it's cheap. It's not well made. That doesn't bring dignity either. And we don't want our products or the products that they made to make it impact the people or make it look like the people there aren't very skilled. But I want the people here to see that those people over there, they do have gifts and talents. And so we will guarantee all our products for at least a year, provided, you know, if you throw it in the fire or drag it behind your car, well, yeah, we won't guarantee that. But actually, especially with the juice pack bags, they are so strong that one of our customers told us that they use it for hauling firewood. So I was like, okay. I use mine for Costco personally, but... So each of the upcycle products, like I say, have the name of the person on it. And you can see this person's name is Bing. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit of story about her. So Bing has 10 children, and back in 2009, 7 of them went to school, and the older 3 had to weave rugs in order to help support the family. And she started making a lot of wallets for us. But Bing was a battered wife. Her husband was an alcoholic. He kept her pregnant, continued to drink, and she was finding it hard to earn an income. So when the last time we visited her, not the last time, but one of the times we visited her in 2012, we hardly recognized her because she looked like this. She was so much more confident. She'd moved into a nicer place. Interestingly, when she started working for Work of Your Hand, her husband stopped beating her. Now, doesn't that make sense? She's making an income now. She's empowered. So he started being nicer to her. Since then, she's moved to a nicer place, become one of the more wealthy in her community, and became a leader. And since getting help from Work of Your Hand, she now wants to help other people who are in a similar situation. And she's also told us that she really doesn't like sewing. She wants to take computers. So it's like, wow, good for you. You don't have to sew. You don't want to. We actually also work with another organization called Samaritana Transformational Ministries. And it's a Christian organization that's committed to sharing out and living the gospel among Filipino women caught in prostitution. And so they have whole counseling classes and cooking classes. And they also make jewelry. So the jewelry to me is really symbolic, because it's all those broken pieces that are put back together and then worn for their beauty. And it's kind of like the women that were all broken, and now they're slowly being put back together and learning about the beauty that God has given them. Here are some of the girls that make the jewelry. We don't show this on our website, and I won't ever publicly put this on because these women are still vulnerable, but they said that it was okay for us to show like this. So we kind of do. We also work in Bandung, Indonesia, and it was started by Garth and Monica Friesen. They're CNMA missionaries, and the organization is called Sangwan Handicrafts. I haven't actually been there yet. That's our next thing. We want to go and visit them. But it's a Sudanese word that means working together for the same purpose. And there's about 22 families that all come together, and they work on creating, making beautiful, beautiful beads or beaded products, and, you know, in a dignified manner. So we also work in Laos. Kama Services started an organization called Kama Crafts. And Laos is a country affected by war and drugs, and this is one of their villages called Somsomai. Laos had 9 years of bombing during the Vietnam War. They say once every 8 minutes, 24 hours a day, for 9 years, a bomb was dropped in Laos. So when the war ended, with the ensuing poverty, the villagers of Laos began to grow heroin to make money. They used to grow it in these mountainous areas called Songkhwan. And by 1990, Laos became the third largest producer of illicit opium and was part of the largest opium-producing area called the Golden Triangle. And those of you that are older, like us, you might remember. I remember learning that in school about this area called the Golden Triangle. However, as you might guess, opium doesn't alleviate poverty because many people became users. So Laos had the second highest rate of addiction in the world, according to United Nations on Drug and Crime Report. Just to let you know, I'm getting all my stats from United Nations on Drug and Crime Report or the World Bank, things like that, places where I think they're credible stats. So it's during the height of the opium production that Kama Crafts was formed under Kama Services, which is the relief and development section of CNMA. And they helped the Hmong villagers, who were one of the earliest growers of opium, to find an alternative means of income. There are 4 villages, approximately, with about 70 families that produce products for Kama Crafts, and one of them is Life Scenes. And using the art of stitch, Life scenes depict the everyday lifestyle of the villages among thousands of Hmong and Lao people. Another is reverse applique, and it's where one piece of fabric is cut and hand-stitched onto another. And those who quilt say, do you know how much work this is? I kind of go, nope. I'm not artistic that way, but I can see that it is a lot of work. We also visited Hmong people that made batik. And this woman in this picture she was the one who helped start the batik process for Kama Crafts. And her name is Vang. And she was actually one of the first to become a believer. And many became a believer through her, through her testimony. And, you know, they say that 20% of all Hmong people are now Christians because of the work of Kama Crafts. And that's really quite astounding when you think that at that point, after the Vietnam War, Lao became communist. So even during that time, God worked. And I just want to show you, this is to talk about some of the talents that people have. I just want to tell you about how they make some of the art things, like batik. So first, you can see they collect wax. Now, you might ask where they got the wax from, because I actually did. And they looked at me like I was daft and went, from a bee's nest? I'm thinking, you mean there's no, like, Michaels or, you know, where do you get your wax? And then they dye the wax in order to draw on the fabric. And as you can tell, it's all done by hand with this interesting tool. It was just cool. It's all art. Or it's drawn like a pencil, like this one. And then they grow their own indigo plant, to make the dye, the blue batik color. So when the orders are placed, they say, you know, they can't just give it to us in a month because it depends on the growing season. I thought, wow, who says that these days? So you can tell this product is very organic and very environmentally friendly. So this is the indigo dye that they made. This is the artwork with the colored beeswax that's just then placed in the indigo dye. And then the products are dried, put back into the dye, and then put into the dye, dried 40 times so that the dye or the color stays. And then they put it into a pot of hot water to melt off all the wax, and they save the wax. Maybe I would save the wax too if I was getting my wax from a bee's nest. And then they put it in vinegar to make the color fast. And then it's done. Another organization that Work Your Hand supports is Phong Thong Handicapped Cooperatives and Mulberries. And they make the beautiful scarves that you might see in the back. And it was founded by a lady named Komali Shantavong. And she lived through the Vietnam War, also in Laos. And she was forced to flee, like a lot of the people there. And she was able to create work for tens of thousands of women through the help of Kama Crafts and Kama Services, through the art of silk weaving. She became very well known and appreciated by her government. And in 2005, she was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And I got to meet her. This is just cool. She actually became a Christian through Kama Services as well. So that was really neat. I'll just talk about how the silk scarves are made. These are mulberry trees. Mulberry leaves are what the silkworms eat. And then these are the cocoons that are left to become moths and produce eggs for the next stage. This lady laughed. She goes, this is like a silkworm condominium. And this is when it's full. When the cocoons are placed in hot water, they emit this thin strand. And that's actually my hand up there, or there's me. And when several strands are put together, they create a thread that are then spooled together. And the threads are hung to dry. And even though it wasn't super popular back then, Komali she has a development project and wanted to create as much work as possible. So she used to grow plants to make natural dye. And she even raised pigs so that she could get her own manure, things like that. Very visionary, this lady. This scarf takes about a week to fully make. And you can see, like, all the pattern is actually in the sticks. So they put a thread through, they do something with the sticks, put another thread through, but do something with the sticks. Yeah, that's about how much I know. Here's another one. And you can see the pattern is kind of up top. So this one they can't actually do with sticks because it's so detailed. So they say that this scarf would take a month to make. They're just amazing scarves. So from 2009 to 2014, we developed Work of Your Hand to support the impoverished artisans living overseas. However, as you know, we're in Cambodia. We've always wanted to be on the ground, working with the impoverished directly. And so we talked to CNMA in 2013, said, hey, would you be interested in us working, returning, and they were. And one of the main affirmations was that they wanted us to make sure that work of your hand would survive. This is especially because work of your hand provides most of the products come from Alliance projects. So 80% of our products over there comes from Alliance projects. And they said that was one of the worst things that could happen is for work of your hand to die. So CNMA then allowed us to return every year for 3 months, October to December, to promote both Work of Your Hand and CNMA. So in January 2015, we went off. So here's some stats about Cambodia. It's located beside Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand. It's ranked on the bottom of the Human Development Index. So number one is the best. 187th is the worst. Canada is about 8th most developed. Cambodia is 137th. The annual income there is about 1,020 US, and they say that almost 18% is below the average poverty line. In 2007, they said that 45% were below the poverty line. Unfortunately, Cambodia is also a place where tourists go for undignified work, undignified things, such as sex. And women and children are sometimes subjected to that horrible thing. Cambodia is also a country filled with much pain. Every person I have met there has had significant stories of death, every single one. Unfortunately, most of them are when they were children. I mean, their brothers or sisters died or something like that, since they're the most vulnerable. Diseases unchecked. Get malaria, rabies, dengue. Health care has harmful myths. Blow smoke over it kind of thing. Or the doctors actually can prescribe medication, even though they're not real doctors. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And there's a lack of safety. You've probably seen lots of things on motorbikes. Yeah, lots of things on motorbikes. Three pigs and everything. And if that's not enough, they still haven't healed from a violent past. It's estimated 1.4 to 2.2 million people, of the one-fifth of the population, died during the genocide. And since it's the educated and knowledgeable that were targeted, Cambodia, even today, is mainly filled with farmers. And due to the post-traumatic stress syndrome, some found it difficult to focus on the future and make harmful decisions. So even though the average age is 25, they say that the country is still affected. 80% of the population wasn't even alive during, or isn't even alive now, and they don't even remember the Khmer Rouge, but they're still affected. However, we have seen that, and it's really affirming to us, that the answer to this is Jesus. It's a relationship with Jesus. The Khmer people who were once part of the Khmer Rouge, some of them become pastors, like the one that the church that we go to with loving hearts. This church in particular has 22 church plants, and they built an amazing community based on trust. We met new friends, old ones. You may recognize Marie Enns, who's in the middle there. And as always, we believe that God is calling us to help the vulnerable and the least reached to prevent exploitation. And so we're developing vocational training opportunities as a way to help ministries in Cambodia and to invest in the Cambodians there. So there you might recognize Sarah in that picture. And one of the ways we've created dignified work is through the greeting card, Livelihood. And because of talented and skilled artists in Canada, there were over 3,200 cards prepped and brought over there, and then they were assembled there. And that's some of the cards that thank you to this church, to Bob and Corrine. You have also purchased a whole bunch of cards, so thank you for that, for your support for that. And from this ministry, actually, there was $440 U.S. that was donated to other Cambodian ministries there, and that we were able to have pay 25 different people part-time wages from this ministry. This is Rort, one of the girls. She's 26-year-old, and she actually had her area that she comes from is Ratnak Kiri, and that is an area where there's a lot of landmines. Of course, it also borders around Vietnam. And, you know, I kind of asked, I said, so I read on the internet that there's a lot of landmines. Can you tell me? And they went, oh, it's not that bad. Like, okay. And then all of a sudden the stories came out. Oh, my brother died while he was holding a grenade, and he was going, he forgot to let it go and drop it into the water because he was going fishing. I was like, okay. And then they said, oh, yeah. And then another time we had a campfire, and we all went to bed. And then that night, boom, and it turned out that they were having a campfire right over a landmine. So I think it's okay is a relative term. this girl name, her name is Plurn, and she's 22, and she's had malaria a couple times. She had, this girl, she ended up, she had her brothers that died at the age of 5 from diarrhea. And when she was asked to elaborate about her hard life, she said that, you know, she had to quit school to be able to take care of her brothers and sisters. And because she wasn't able to get very much help from school, she felt like she wasn't very smart. And so, you know, she, her self-esteem was really affected. And I'll let Darren talk about the rest.
We, as Minako has mentioned, we want to focus in Cambodia on vocational training as a vision that God has given us. And one of the things that we want to be certain of when we go and talk about training people with skills to use the gifts and talents that God may have blessed them with or that they may be able to learn, nobody is a whole person unless they have the light of Jesus in them. And so we want to create, first and foremost, servant leaders who have Jesus living in them, who are disciples of the living God, and then who become apprentice, who learn a skill and a talent, and then go out into the community, in amongst the people, in the workplace, and shine the light of Jesus there. So not just in the church, but going out and into the community. And this is the only way that Cambodia is going to be reached. One of the things that we are focused on is creating a vocational training center. And in this center, we envision that we will have training, teaching people soft skills such as how to show up for work on time, how to, you know, be clean and dress properly, etc. But also, we want to train them and come alongside with ministry opportunities and then move them out as apprentice, so that they have the opportunity to learn vocational skills. And we've got a number of them listed here that are potential areas where we have believe there's opportunities, such as automotive services, sewing, guest house, coffee shops, textiles, computers, etc. All of these are training schools that we hope to start to train people to then go out and work in those businesses. Next slide, please. Now, we have grown up in the business world and have transitioned into ministry, into the mission world, but we don't know everything, and there's a lot of skills and talents that we do not have. So one of the things that God has pressed upon us is the idea of creating pathways for participation, for people to come and serve, for you, people like you, to bring your skills, your gifts and talents, to come and transfer those skills and gifts and knowledge into somebody else who can then train and teach and begin to nurture and develop those skills in Cambodia. So we actually have a number of different streams in which we believe people will be coming. If you go back for a second, short-term missions and internships from Canadian churches, we are going to encourage people to come and visit us, spend some time there, come as a family or as individuals and stay for a month or two and transfer and train and those skills and knowledge like Sarah did. Sarah Hetherington came and spent a month with us, and she was working with a doctor and Agape, which is an organization that is involved in rescuing girls from sex trafficking. And she was involved in teaching community health and helping in that way. But there are other ways. We're working with Ambrose. Ambrose is planning to send business students and behavioral sciences students or social workers to come and work with us as well for 8 to 10 months out of the year. And the Alliance is about to start a new program that you'll hear about in probably in the next couple of years, something called Envision, in which they are planning to take leaders and potential youth leaders and people who are retired and people who are just available and want to go and see and be a part of what God is doing. And the Alliance is going to work with them to send them to visit various sites around the world. And Simri, where we're located, is going to be one of those sites. In fact, it's going to be the first site. So we're excited about all of this activity. We could have as many as 8 to 10 people from Canada coming every year to be a part of the growth and the development of what's going on. For example, on the next slide, this February we had a man come from Cochrane Toyota. He's a master mechanic. His name is Phil. And he brought his whole family for 3 weeks. They came because they are considering whether they will move to Cambodia and join our team long term. But in the short term, he came and he taught automotive. And he taught to a couple of Vietnamese kids who are under the hood, kind of towards the back, and a couple of pastors. And he was able to train them, give them some confidence in working on engines. They tried to fix Pirom's truck, which is always desperately in need of repair. And they gave them and instilled in them a confidence that they could work and do this, even though they didn't have all of the training and the manuals and the tools. And they have taken that and they've begun to run with it. Next slide. In this picture, you can see Vang over to the side of the car. He has pulled out an engine. And he is now regularly pulling out engines and transmissions and replacing parts and doing timing and all kinds of things. And so it's working. It's working. He is now able to work. He's now able to tithe and give back to the church. So he's supporting the church with what they're doing. And they're planning to develop this and train others. And in the back, if you go back for a second, in the back there, there was a church in Canada that heard what was going on, came alongside, and decided to support this church in this vocational program by building a shop for them for a couple of cars there. Next slide. One of the gifts that Pastor Pirom has, the church that we're working with, is his wife, Han. Han is a beautiful servant, and she does all of the cooking. She leads a lot of the women's ministry, takes care of the kids, is involved in worship. She's very, very busy. But she decided that she had gifts and talents that she wanted to contribute, and that was to sew and to teach sewing. So those girls that are making the greeting cards are also involved in learning sewing, and Han actually made these for us. These are traditional Cambodian outfit for formal events, weddings, Christmas, Easter, things like that. But Han knows how to teach sewing. She doesn't know how to run a business. And so we're planning on coming alongside Han and teaching the students how to actually run a business, how to manage, save money, customer service, managing where to get supplies from, et cetera, et cetera. And that's going to happen because people like yourselves will come and work teaching those skills and transferring those knowledge onto these people. Next slide, please. You know, we just want to be obedient and willing to what God is doing. And we stand many times with open hands and wonder what God is up to, and we allow God to put things in our hands and take things out of our hands as we continue to develop and evolve. And we would really appreciate your prayers for guidance from the Holy Spirit to teach us, to allow us to be willing to let things go or to take on new things as he leads us. And so we would appreciate your prayers along that line. Next slide. I'm not going to talk about this. I'll let Pastor Bob talk about this. The Alliance funds and supports us well, and we are very thankful and grateful for that, and this Alliance family as well as many others. So we're thankful for that. If you want to track with us, stay in touch with us, follow along, we have newsletters, Facebook pages, lots of pictures of life in Cambodia, ongoing, the people, the places, the the fun we have, etc. And we also have prayer cards at the back if you're interested. But if you go to this website, you can sign up for newsletters and stay in touch with us a number of ways. And if you're interested in potentially coming, begin to pray about it. Talk to Bob and Grace and others about what might be possible. And then contact us and let's see. Let's see what God will open up and where God will lead. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be with you today. And
I should put this back on, eh? I got all listening to you guys, not paying attention. So you said you'd let me deal with something. I'll tell you how this works. The Alliance gives them a small amount of money to actually do their day-to-day expenses and their housing, and then gives them the ability to raise the money to buy a vehicle that they can actually be in. It's rainy there a lot. It's muddy there a lot. Right now they have pedal bikes with a basket that you get stuff stolen out of, and a motorcycle. And you actually borrowed from other missionaries a vehicle to transport us around. And if you were like, wow, you know, if God moves on your heart to help them with a vehicle, they have a vehicle fund that you could give to under their names with the Alliance. And when they raise enough money, they can purchase a car or an actual vehicle that allows them to travel and to collect things and to pick their stuff up. Otherwise, they have to use Prohm's truck, which is in that shop. 90% of the time? I was in the back of that truck more than once. We want to pray for you guys. Thank you for letting God affect your hearts and going. And we're privileged to walk alongside. Would you just stand with me as we pray for Darren and Monaco? Father in heaven, thank you for the people that you bring into my life. And I thank you that as a church, unbeknownst even to us, our paths we're going to cross. And Lord, we get to journey and watch what you're doing in different ways and in different places and be affected through Darren and Monaco and them through us. Thank you that you provided this place for Sarah to go and to have this experience. And Lord, we just pray for others that would make their particular gifts available to you. And Lord, would this journeying together go on for many years? First, I pray for safety and health and strength for Darren and Monaco. As they eat the weird foods and the experimental cooking and the many challenges that they face, with the sporadic power and cooling and on and on and on, just, Lord, give them physical health. Grant to them unusual great health and strength. Secondly, Lord, bring around them other workers that just love you, and where they can just encourage each other. And Father, spiritually protect them. This is a dark place. This is a place where generations and generations have believed so many lies and so many versions of how to get the gods or the spirits to do what they want. And as they bring truth, Satan is going to oppose it. So Father, make their home a place of peace. Protect them spiritually. And protect them from harm and danger as they travel and are out and about. Thirdly, Father, give them great increase. Would they have wisdom to know where to pour their time and their energy? And Lord, would you just, it says in Ephesians, you prepared works for us to participate at with you in. Just show them what they are. And give them that ability. And finally, Lord, would you grant to the team on the ground in that place just an unusual peace from you. Lord, a togetherness in your call and your mission. And I pray that you would just superintend the road forward for them. Thank you so much for them. Bless them, Lord. And would you continue to give them the opportunity in the months at home to share their heart about what you're doing for the days ahead. And all God's people said, amen.